The Rams outlast the Vikings on Monday Night Football as surprise guests, Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp coming back from injury and making a splash. A Ruski game of the week. Can the Bills keep the wagon circling against the Seahawks? You're listening to the Fumble Ruski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
You're listening to the Fumble Ruski podcast, sponsored by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Chris Kostich, with me, Adam Wright, as we had a very good Thursday night football game last night. Oh, that says Monday night football, but change that real quick on the little break thing. But we kind of assumed that this was going to be a big get right game for the Vikings coming off of their loss last week to the Lions in very shootoutish fashion. And then all of a sudden, a couple hours before kickoff, Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp both active for the game last night. And boy, it was a breath of fresh air for this Rams offense. Matthew Stafford, 25 for 34, 279 yards, four touchdowns. Kyren Williams, 23 carries, 97 yards. Puka, seven catches, 106 yards. Kupp, five catches, 51 for a touchdown. DeMarcus Robinson, two catches for two touchdowns. And unfortunately, this game came down to a very controversial face mask, no-call face mask in the end zone that produced a safety. Sam Darnold seemingly had his face mask grabbed with a referee literally 3 feet away and could definitely see it. But fact of the matter is, the Rams back from the dead and seemingly now in a pretty good spot to make a run at a playoff spot.
Yeah, well, seemed to have gotten the face mask is definitely that's one way to put it.
Yeah.
That's about as blatant as it could possibly get. Listen, I have a few takeaways from this past game, starting with the refs. The refs were absolutely terrible in this game. It wasn't just the face mask. There was also a penalty on it was a hold on Byron Murphy Jr. in the secondary that was on the Vikings. It was on a third down, that which would have caused a fourth if the play actually had upheld, caused a three and out. Rams would get the ball. It turns out that was a scoring drive. And my next takeaway is that the Vikings are in a little more trouble than we may think. In the last three games, Sam Darnold, 3-2 touchdown interception ratio, has played pedestrian ball. I wouldn't say he's been bad, but pedestrian. He's looking a little bit, just a tad bit more like himself. And he's going to be without his left tackle for the rest of the year. Christian Darrisaw, season ending knee injury. He's going to have surgery very soon. The only thing they have going for them is their schedule. And I wouldn't be so nervous about this for them if they weren't in the division that they're in. Because every single one of these teams is above 500. They all have 4+ wins right now. And if they all win, which there's a very strong chance they do this weekend, then the Vikings are in big trouble and they're very close to being in last place, believe it or not. So looking at the way this could all shape out, I mean, you could make a case the NFC North, the worst quarterback in this division is the Vikings. In fact, it's almost not controversial to say that. So when I look at this season for the Vikings, this is going to be tough. And third takeaway, the Rams may have just played their way back into the playoff picture. They just got their two number 1A and 1B, their two wide receivers, Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, are back. Both made a strong impact in the game. That's going to be huge during a stretch of time. They're now 3-4. They're back in the heat in they're back in the thick of this race, and the division is about as close as it gets in the AFC and the NFC West. And this is the Rams are in it again.
And honestly, for missing 4.5 to 5 weeks, 4.5 with Cup and 5 weeks with Puka, I mean, they put themselves in a good spot to get themselves back into things. You know, two wins, one against the Niners, one against the Raiders last week. They get both of them back this week, and all of a sudden it was kind of a revamping, I guess. I don't really know a better term to describe it, I guess. This offense found more life after seemingly being dead for the past however many weeks. I mean, after that Niners game, they had not eclipsed past 20 points up until the Raiders game, and they got to exactly 20 points. So they're definitely going to be in a much better spot for the Vikings, definitely. I don't know if we're hitting the panic button just yet. I wouldn't say that. But definitely maybe some more questions, and it's going to be interesting to see how Sam Darnold holds up now, as you mentioned, without their left tackle. And just an unfortunate way for things to happen as well. Like right at the end of the half and – or right at the end, basically. And boom, there goes your left tackle.
Well, like I said, Sam Darnold has looked very pedestrian over the past few weeks. Like he hasn't been bad, but he hasn't necessarily been good either. And I think you need really good in order to get this team to win some games. During his first four games of the season, 13-2 touchdown to interception ratio, just under 1,000 yards. In the games since, 3-2. That's not the best stretch. And it's, dare I say, in a passing manner, kind of Justin Fields-like, where you're playing just to not lose rather than playing to win. That's just a little worrisome because I know that Sam Darnold physically, as far as abilities go, he has the potential to do more than just throw three touchdown passes in three games. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah,
a little nervous about this Vikings team.
Like I said, I'm just not hitting the panic button just yet, but I think we can both agree there are some lingering questions going into next week. And you know what? They got a half a bye week essentially to figure things out now. And they'll have a Sunday night game against the Colts next week.
So. Yeah, sure.
All right. So with that, we're going to move on to our week 8 game picks. As another week in the books, and we're a week closer to the trade deadline as well. You're listening to the Fumble Risky Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Risky Podcast. Adam Wright, Chris Kostich. Week 8, Friday, has come again. You know what that means. It's our week 8 picks. We're going to start with our Ruski game of the week, the Bills versus the Seahawks. Bills coming in off of a win last week to the Titans. First game with Amari Cooper as well, where he got a touchdown last week. Seahawks coming in off of a win last week, breaking their 3-game losing streak against the Atlanta Falcons. Bills at 5-2, Seahawks at 4-3, Bills 3-point favorites. This is going to be a good one. It's going to be a pretty underrated game, in my opinion. Obviously, we have it as Ruski Game of the Week, so how underrated can it really be? And there are some other good ones set to go, but those are more depending on certain factors. Like take the Commanders and the Bears, for example. That was going to be probably our Ruski Game of the Week, but we couldn't. But if Jaden Daniels isn't going to play, then throw it out the window. So that's why this is it. But this is going to be a good one. Obviously, you know, you got Geno Smith almost at 2,000 passing yards. He's played well enough. I'd like to see him throw some more touchdowns. His turnovers are a little troublesome. But in terms of two teams that are coming off of big wins. This is going to be a pretty good test on both sides, especially with the Bills. I mean, looking at the Bills right now, their only games that you could say are against winning teams or playoff contending teams, if we're going to throw the Seahawks in as a playoff contending team, the Ravens and the Texans, in which they lost. Ravens by 25, Texans by 3. If you want to say the Jets are a playoff team, they beat them 23-20. Same thing with the Dolphins. They won 31-10. But the Ravens and the Texans being the outliers. I think the Seahawks are very much a very streaky team. And I think that they're going to go on a little – I think they're going to go back on their little positive streak here, and they're going to pick up the victory at home.
Yeah, I have to go to Bills on this one. I think that new toy, Amari Cooper, the fact that he was able to make an impact in his first game while barely even knowing the playbook says that this guy can still kind of play. How much, we'll find out, but – any sort of help is good with this Bills team. Their pass-catching core has looked, I wouldn't say bad, but it's a B-level pass-catching core. You know, you have Khalil Shakir, who's been solid. You have Curtis Samuel, who has potential to break out and be a solid player. Keon Coleman has been all right. I mean, he's had his moments. He certainly had a very good game against the Titans. But let's look at the Seahawks. Some injuries on that offensive line. Some injuries on the defense. They're without their number one wide receiver, DK Metcalf. I think the Bills continue to roll with this one.
Are they without DK?
They're without DK.
I missed that. How did I miss that?
Yeah, DK's week to week.
That's crazy. I don't know how that went over my head.
Yeah. Well,
you know what? I'm sticking with the Seahawks. Screw it. I'm sticking with the Seahawks.
Yeah. Well, also CJ already made the post for our pick'ems. So
whatever.
You'd be screwing him over there. Yeah. I'm going the Bills. Bills are taking this one. I think they're the best team in this division. They have the best quarterback in their division as well, and I think that's going to continue. They're going to go 6-2 here.
I like it. I mean, I'm kind of just quickly looking at defensive leaders as well, real quick, because I'd love to see the Seahawks run the ball a little bit more. I mean, we're starting to kind of see them do that. And looking at the Bills, kind of a middle of the pack team in terms of rushing defense as well. And you know, Bills, that's been their main story, is that they're dealing with a bunch of bullshit on the defensive side of the football. So you really never know what's going to end up happening. But yeah, risky game of the week. But now we go to our week 8 early slate. First game on the list, the Jets and the Pats. Two teams going in the wrong direction. Patriots, 7-point underdogs to the Jets at home. This is the first time that the Jets have been favored in back-to-back games against the Patriots since the Chad Pennington Jets of 2002.
Wow.
There's your stat hole for today. But been a long time, especially, you know, Jets being favored in Gillette is very, very new territory as well. Haven't seen that in quite a long time.
Well, if you're saying since 2002, that's literally since the existence of Gillette Stadium. I mean,
yeah,
old Foxborough Stadium was taken down.
You're right.
After 2001, so this is literally just the second time in the history of this stadium.
That's crazy. That's a good little spin on it right there, Adam. I like it. That's
well,
crazy.
Is it
that's
good or is it bad? We are two Patriots fans. That is not a good spin.
No, that's
a
wild.
It's not
spin.
Good for us.
Not good for us, but to be a football fan, it's a pretty good spin to take on it, I guess.
It's a great spin for Jets fans, but we're not Jets fans. And
yeah. Pats, soft gate. Jerod Mayo just called his team soft, and it seems like right afterwards you are getting a lot of reports that now it's potentially going to be a one-and-done season. You first heard it from Felger and Mads on 98.5, which you can kind of at first take it for a grain of salt, but then the story really started to gain traction. So there's only two ways that this game is going to go for the Pats. They're going to get their shit kicked in and lose by 20, or they're going to win a very tight game against the Jets and get the wheels turning. There's only two ways about it. You either get an even worse mutiny than you already had, or the fellas rally around their hatred for Jerod Mayo and they get the victory, Herb Brooks style. Get everyone to hate you. Get everyone on the same page to hate you. So they all have a common goal.
Jerod Mayo's out here playing chess, if that's actually what he's doing. They're going to get their shit kicked in by 20. That's my vote. Listen, in all seriousness, I don't think the Patriots are winning this game. The Jets may be broken, but the Patriots are in an even worse spot. The cupboard is quite literally bare. At least with the Jets losing a couple of these games, they've put up some points. They lost to the Bills by 3 points. They put up 20. At least they have some personnel. It just feels like with this Patriots team, they don't have much going on offense. Drake May is the only shining beacon of hope. And a quarterback with no protection and no weapons isn't going to do it for them. And with the coaching kind of making it so that the team is turning on them, that's a really bad spot to be in. In pretty much the worst spot to possibly be in. The only way this would get worse is if Drake May was just couldn't play. We're thankful that he's shown us some hope, but this receiving room is pissing me off a lot. Between Jalen Polk and Kayshon Booty in their comments the past couple weeks, it's like, guys, if you at least had some talent, then it would make sense. If you were Stephon Diggs, then you could at least – he's so supremely talented that you can kind of put up with it for a few years. With these guys, they suck too.
Yeah.
So yeah, and this Patriots defense may be the worst that I have ever seen in my entire 24 years on this planet.
This is probably the worst defense that I've seen since the second Super Bowl run against the Giants, that 2011 season.
It was even, but this is worse
than
that.
That defense was bad.
That defense was bad, but this is even worse. That defense was ranked 17th overall in scoring. This one is about to rank even lower than that.
Yep. And the two things that those two defenses had in common are injuries as well. I don't know if you remember that there was like some Sunday night football game that they had against the Jets. And it was just the secondary was just a who's who, Steve Gregory, you name it. Like, I can't even think of half the names that are even starting for the Pats at that point. But
Kyle Arrington
was there.
Devin McCourty was out there playing snaps
over there. Second or third year. But real quick on the Jets side, though, before we move on to the next game, we have spent a good amount of time on this game, a little longer than most would, but there's a lot of storylines from this game, though.
If you're not a Patriots or Jets fan, then you don't give a fuck about this game.
You can skip for 5 minutes from this game. So Hassan Reddick is playing, by the way. He is playing this week. That's another storyline. He got let go by his agency because no agency is telling you to lose $800,000 per game. Like, no agent is ever going to tell you that, ever. Let's just make that clear. And the agency said, fuck it, you're done. We're done with you. We don't want anything to do with you anymore. And now he's got Rosenberg or someone like that as his agent now, who has a lot of clientele around the league, or Rosenthal. I can't think of the name for the life of me. Same guy that is the agent for Gronk, Edelman, I think. Anyways, so Reddick's in, but the big storyline that's been coming around is Tom Brady ruining it for quarterbacks. And here's why. Tom Brady, past the age of 40, went insane. Here's Aaron Rodgers, about to turn 41, and he's done jack with the Jets. Aaron Rodgers with the Jets is what everyone thought Tom Brady was going to be with the Bucs.
Tom Brady's not the only one who did it, though. I think Tom Brady was just the latest, not even the latest in the trend. The latest in the trend was Matthew Stafford, who did it the very next year. And then before that, it was Peyton Manning. Kurt Warner made it to a Super Bowl after he left the Rams, and then he went to a new team.
But Peyton didn't even get to 40, though.
He didn't get to 40, but he won two. He made it to two Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Also, Drew Brees played into his 40s.
Brett Favre
went to a new team and threw for 30 touchdowns.
Yeah.
When he was 40.
He only had one good year with the Vikings, unfortunately.
Yeah, but just when you turn 40, that is one of the greatest years of an age 40 quarterback of all time.
But the point being, though, is that Tom Brady ended up outlasting everyone and probably could have even played another couple of years.
Maybe he won't be any good, but like you can't tell me there's 32 starters who are all better than him.
No,
he's better than Will Levis, I bet.
I would bet a lot of money that he would have a better season than Will Levis.
Let's make our game picks.
Yeah. Moving on from that game, Bengals Eagles. Bengals coming off of a win against the Browns. Eagles coming in off of a win against, I don't even give a fuck. I'm taking the Bengals. Bengals are a little hot. They're starting to get the wheels turning again. Joe Burrow has been playing at an MVP level. It's just too bad that his team sucks around him. I'm thinking, I know the Bengals are 0-3 at home, but I feel like the Bengals need to win this game to have any sort of shot of really making it into a playoff spot. And this is a team like the Rams that are starting to find their own again. And what better way to do it than getting a win at home against Philly?
Look, the Bengals they've been winning more games lately. They've won three out of their last four. My problem is I still don't trust that defense. The team on offense looks good, but a little bit on the inconsistent side. Some games you'll see Burrow throwing for 3 to 4 touchdowns, 300 to 400 yards, and he's blowing you away. Other games he's throwing barely 200 yards, no touchdowns, and they're barely edging out a victory against the Giants. It feels a little, dare I say, Dallas Cowboys-y, where they're kind of just like they can look really good or really bad in kind of that sense. Their defense, I also don't trust. So I am going with the Eagles, but I will grant you, if the Bengals win this game, they're going to have a lot of momentum on their side. And if you look at the schedule later this season, they only have one tough game left. They have one game against the Ravens. Then everything else is very, very winnable for them. So next thing you know, you're 4-4, and the only game that you could really see yourself losing is you could end up 11-6, 12-5 before you can even blink. So just think about that for a second.
Yeah, that's why this is kind of a big game, and I think the Bengals are going to realize that as well. Obviously, you can't take any opponent for granted down the stretch, but I think the Bengals are going to realize that this is a very must-win game for them going down the line. So
I just trust the Eagles defense a little more. And
that was going to be my next question, because both defenses are extremely suspect in their own right. So which one are you willing to trust more?
Definitely the Eagles. They have a little more personnel. And they've been a little more reliable. Also, their offense has gotten better in recent weeks. I say better. I just their full arsenal is coming back. AJ Brown is back. I trust them just a tad more, just a little bit more.
Yeah.
They both look bad, but I trust the Eagles just a little bit more.
Also, here's a little tidbit that somehow went right under my nose. Both teams played the Browns and the Giants the last 2 weeks. Eagles beat the Browns 2 weeks ago, 20-16. They beat the Giants last week, 28-3. Bengals beat the Giants 2 weeks ago, 17-7. Then beat the Browns last week, 21-14. There's your funny tidbit for that game, I guess.
Yeah.
Next game. Ravens, Browns. Ravens, easily. Jameis getting the start, but I don't really care. Browns are also 0-3 at home. Ravens are a wagon. Question is, do they cover the spread and by how much?
Yeah, Ravens are winning this one, and it's really not going to be close. It's great to see Jameis getting in there to start. Maybe they get a little bit of a boost from better quarterbacking. It's unbelievable that you have to say that you're getting better quarterbacking from Jameis Winston over Deshaun Watson. If the year were 2017 or 2016 and somebody said that, you would probably have to send him to an insane asylum.
Yeah.
Like, Jameis Winston is playing better, has a better chance of playing good ball than Deshaun Watson.
And the craziest part, too, is that, like, Jameis wasn't even their second option. It was Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and DTR's hurt as well. Like, Jameis last week was the emergency quarterback. Now they goes from emergency quarterback to being the starting quarterback this week. And honestly, the only reason why I see the Browns possibly performing well is just based off of the positive vibes from Jameis. The positive, goofy vibes.
You know, one thing my trainer once told me. What did my trainer tell me? He just said to be prepared. How Here's many of y'all eating a W tonight?
See that? That's W.
And then his condoms comment, where he's like, he said, this is one of the best. He's trying to say tandems, like wide receiver tandems. Like, they were one of the best wide receiver condoms out there. He goes, one of the reporters, you mean tandems? He goes, what did I say? Oh my God.
Everyone's favorite quarterback, Jameis Winston. This game's also going to take 2 seconds. Lions-Titans. I'm not even going to – Let's say it together.
No, no. One,
three,
two,
one. Lions.
Lions.
Oh, that – we screwed that up.
Three, two, one, Lions.
Lions. All Jesus right, there we go. All right. Cardinals-Dolphins. Tua's back. That's a big story. And basically bringing grown men to tears. That's how great this story is Tua coming back. Tyreek Hill saying that he got tears in his eyes when he saw Tua on the practice field. Yeah, I just based off of that alone, I'm picking the Dolphins. And also, here's another little tidbit. Cardinals got the win last week against the Chargers. They're on a short week, and they have not won back-to-back games in 3 years.
Kyler Murray is the most hyped up quarterback to win, to make it to one, to make it to one playoff series. That's it. He's made the playoffs once.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable. The kid can clearly play, but like how well? He needs a really good team around him. And this is not that good of a team. And they clearly don't know how to use Marvin Harrison Jr.
Is he playing this week? Or yeah, he played last week. Am I saying?
Yeah. As far as I'll look at it, maybe it'll be a close game, but I'm going to say the Dolphins, just because Tua is back, and because Tua is back, that effectively means Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle are back, which means that offense becomes electric again. Yep. I question if he's going to be rusty or if you're going to get the bad version of Tua where he's not playing the best ball that he could. You never know what you're going to get with Tua. But I'm going to go as far as to say they win this game.
I think the safest thing you could really say is that you can trust the Dolphins to beat up on the bad teams.
Sure.
Bucks, Falcons. Bucks are wearing their creamsicles this week. They've also won one of their last five games in the creamsicles. Tough, which sucks because that's a pretty clean jersey. Pretty clean jersey.
If only they were wearing these when they had their top two targets. Mike Evans is out until at least week 11. Chris Godwin is done for the year. I don't see a scenario where the Falcons lose this game. I like the way Baker Mayfield's played this year. But do we see him playing this well without his top two targets?
Adam, sorry. We got some breaking news from the previous game, the Dolphins and the Cardinals. Dolphins defensive tackle Zach Seiler suffered a fractured orbital bone in practice, out Sunday versus the Cardinals, and being evaluated to judge how long he's out and if surgery is required. All orbital bone fractures have different timelines, so that's a big hit to the defense of the Dolphins there. But I don't think that really matters. Sorry, continue.
Not at all. Yeah. Listen, the Buccaneers are. I don't see the Buccaneers winning this game. No. Give me the Falcons, just because. It's not even that I've loved the Falcons this year. It's just because the Buccaneers have such bad injuries that they sustained during their last game. I have a hard time picking the Buccaneers. Maybe they win. Maybe they get that revenge game after a couple of weeks ago, with that absolute classic of a shootout. But like the Buccaneers aren't going to be able to keep up this time. So,
yeah, obviously you mentioned the injuries that they sustained last week, but I mean, even the injuries that they've been sustaining this entire year, this is a very beat up Bucs team. They've been pretty beaten and battered throughout the majority of the season. And this is a big game in terms of the NFC South as well. NFC South, wild card, you name it. This is a big game. And the Bucs are in not a good spot for the next few weeks. That's for certain. Packers, Jaguars. Packers are four-point favorites against the Jaguars. Josh Jacobs' first career receiving touchdown last week, by the way. Congrats to him. Almost 1,700 receiving yards and over 100 catches, and he finally has the first. All right. To the game, Jordan Love has more of a Brett Favre taste in his mouth than a Aaron Rodgers, but hasn't seemed to matter because he is still hucking the ball, throwing touchdowns left and right like it's nobody's business. Jaguars have the worst pass game in the league. I think you know my answer.
Yeah, Jordan Love definitely tastes a little bit of Brett Favre, but I think we're going to see the Packers win this game again, 6-2. I teased this when we were talking about Thursday Night Football, that matchup. That was a devastating loss for the Vikings because I see a strong chance that most of these NFC North teams end up winning this week, which I believe, if my math is correct, puts the Vikings at the bottom of their division already.
Yes.
Or if they're not, they're at least close to it. But we'll get.
Let me look at the standings real quick. So if we're going based off of division standings alone, then yes. The Packers would be at the bottom. Or no. Sorry. Packers would be over the Vikings because of record. And the Bears would hop over the Vikings, A, because of record. where they would have both be at 5-2 if the Bears were to win. And the Vikings are 1-1 in their division now. The Bears are 1-0. So just based off of the zero and the loss column, the Bears would probably be taking over the second spot. Yeah, second
spot. Isn't that something? In a two-week span, they go from first to last. That just says how tough this NFC North is. I'm telling you, that's what I'm worried about. This division is so tough that the Vikings are in trouble because they lost two games after going 5-0, which says a lot about how competitive this division is.
But you could say the same thing about every other team in the division, though.
Sure, but they all have better quarterbacks, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's not up for debate. Ugh. Not up for debate at all. I just got done with a hockey game. Now I just can't talk. Next game, Colts-Texans. I'm picking the Texans, but this Texans offense just hasn't been that impressive. It hasn't been as impressive as what everyone thought it would be, and it doesn't help that Nico Collins is out. But then you look at the Colts side and you have Anthony Richardson, who has the worst completion percentage through the first however many weeks of the season in the last 10 years and has a worse percentage than the likes of DeShone Kizer.
I'm still taking the Texans. I understand that they've underachieved slightly. But they've been good enough. I don't think they've been bad. In fact, I think they've been far from it. They've been very good this year. The problem is they're not the slam dunk Super Bowl contenders that at least I thought they would be.
No.
Going into this season. They still are. They're a Super Bowl contender for me. And they'll eventually figure it out.
The defense has it figured out.
Defense has it figured out pretty much. I just think some consistency on the offensive side of the ball. You've seen a couple ugly games from CJ Stroud this year. There was one against the Vikings that was just terrible. And then the last one, not even eclipsing 100 yards, 86 yards. That is really bad by CJ Stroud standards. But still, give me the Texans. Texans take this one pretty easy.
Yeah, easy enough. I'm just hoping as a CJ Stroud fantasy owner, he just shows up this week. That'd be nice. That'd be very nice. We're going to step aside for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the late afternoon slate and then our primetime games, Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast, sponsored by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. The founder, Adam Wright. It is no longer Kirktober, Chris Kostich. Late afternoon slate of the NFL. Saints, Chargers. The only good thing for the Saints right now is that they signed Kamara to a new contract extension or whatever, and he's also dealing with a broken hand. And it's funny, you know, the Saints, they're the only good thing that really came out of this, obviously, you keep Kamara, which you want to do. But you also save $18 million by signing this new contract. Somehow, some way. Don't ask me how. I'm not a numbers guy. I never will be a numbers or accounting guy. Just an accounting guy in general. Nobody barely knows how the salary cap works. I couldn't tell you. But they saved $18 million somehow, and now they're just going to keep kicking this can down the road of like, yeah, we're still in cap hell, but we're just going to wait another couple of years to actually deal with it.
They keep doing this. They've been doing it for years, and it's actually insane. They've crushed their Super Bowl window with Drew Brees, and they're just dinking around in this. I don't know. Can you even call it a rebuild? Feels like they're just going back and forth. They're signing some players. They're also cutting some. It's been really weird. The Saints are not winning this game. That's for sure for me. The Chargers, I've said it before, and I'll say it this week as well. The Chargers, they may not do much this year, but they've at least set themselves up for in a year or so, maybe they could be contenders. They don't have playmakers like they did last in years past. But what I do like is that they've worked on that offensive line. It's gotten a little better. They've worked on the coaching. That's better. And they still have Justin Herbert. Those are three of the most important things when building up the foundation of a contending team. And all they need is the targets. The defense will get a little better. In fact, it's playing a little better. I mean, the coaching kind of goes hand in hand with defense. I mean, you do need some personnel, but if you have the coaching, then the defense will come with it to an extent. So they have all of the most important factors to eventually one day contend. They won't do it this year, but they'll win a few games, this one included.
Defensively, the Chargers are still playing extremely well. They're top 10 in yards per game defense, yards per game in terms of rushing, top 10. Same thing with passing. This is a very good defense that Jim Harbaugh has cooked up this year. And I think that this is going to be a very similar game to the Saints last game against the Broncos, and the Broncos game versus the Saints last Thursday, and the Chargers game this past Monday against the Cardinals. Very similar, I think. Maybe the Chargers find a way to produce more on offense, but the opposing team's not going to put up a whole lot, especially the way you saw the Saints game against the Broncos. They really could not do anything.
Nothing at all.
Like, I would be surprised if Kamara even gets past 20 yards again. Next game, Broncos Panthers. This one's another easy one. Also, Panthers are going to be without Deontay Johnson and potentially Andy Dalton as well. So, it's not good. Like, right now, Deontay Johnson's out.
They're both out. Deontay Johnson and Adam Thielen are both out.
Well, I knew that. Well, Adam Thielen just got brought back on the 21-day report, or practice window, I should say. And, yeah, you lose Andy Dalton. Now you got to go with Bryce Young. And realistically, that was the only way that we were going to see Bryce Young again, is if Andy Dalton started playing even worse than Bryce Young, or Andy Dalton got hurt. One of them happened, and now we're going to most likely get Bryce Young this weekend. Broncos. Hopefully we see Cortland Sutton do something this week. That'd be nice to see. That'd be very nice.
Wouldn't be bad.
Chiefs Raiders. Golly. Just too bad the Raiders don't have a better team. It's just too bad. Or else this would be probably, who knows? This probably is the first loss of the season for the Chiefs. Maybe they go 6-1 here, but no. This Raiders team, a ton of mutiny.
The Raiders are a joke right now.
Yeah.
It's bad. The Chiefs. This Chiefs team, you took this Chiefs team and went back in time, let's say, 6 years to 2018, then they're probably a slam dunk 17-0 team with Kareem Hunt, a younger Travis Kelce, DeAndre Hopkins. They're an antique shop right now. They're doing everything they possibly can. They're doing everything they possibly can to go and get themselves that three-peat. Problem is, I just don't know if they're going to do it. They keep winning games, but eventually there is a time. We've seen teams like this before. This isn't anything new. 2019, the Patriots went 8-0. They ended up finishing 12-4, were one and done in the playoffs. The Kansas City Chiefs back in, 2013, they were one and done. They started the season, what, 8-0?
Yeah, they lost to like the Steelers or something that year.
They lost to the Broncos first game.
Yeah.
And then the sky eventually fell. They went 11-5. They lost their division to the 2013 Broncos. Then they got routed by the Indianapolis Colts, led by Andrew Luck.
Oh, once yeah.
Routed.
Well, routed, but they blew a massive lead.
Massive lead they blew because Alex Smith can't hold leads.
Yeah. Yeah, so fortunately it's the Chiefs, but
all I'm saying is it won't last. They'll be a good team. They're going to be contenders because you have Patrick Mahomes. But
Adam, I want a proclamation from you right now. I want a proclamation of you saying Chiefs are losing in 2 weeks and they're one and done this year. I need you to say that proclamation right now.
I can't give you that. they'll go. Yeah, they're going to go 8-0. We'll say. Well, listen.
Look at this schedule
what do you
right
mean
now.
In 2 weeks? Because if you're including this upcoming week, they're winning this week. The Chiefs are winning this week. They're beating the Buccaneers the next week. Because the Buccaneers, like we just said earlier on, they have nothing. Then they have the Broncos. They're not losing to the Broncos. They're not losing to the Broncos.
I don't know, man.
They have the Bills. They have the Bills coming up after that.
I could see back-to-back losses here against the Broncos and the Bills, in all honesty. I could see back-to-back losses here.
I'm going to quote you. I want a proclamation.
Back-to-back. All right,
Broncos,
proclamation.
That better show up in your game picks in a couple weeks.
It will. It will. I am 100% betting on the Broncos week, whatever that is. In 3 weeks, when the Broncos and the Chiefs play, I'm hammering the Broncos.
That's a good way to lose U.S. currency.
No, it's not, because the Broncos are going to beat them.
I bet.
It's going to be one of those weird-ass AFC West division games. The same thing that we saw out of the Raiders last year. And they sneak out a win somehow, some way. And lo and behold, it's in Arrowhead. It's in Arrowhead. Deja vu.
All right. Listen, I'll give you week 11. The Chiefs will lose week 11 to the Bills. Because the Bills are a much more complete team.
Yeah.
They've been playing much better. They're not only 5-2, probably going to be, I think, going to be 6-2, but they're a more complete team. You can see it giving the eye test. With the eye test giving that to the Chiefs, it doesn't look good. Yeah. I'll give you that. That's my proclamation. Freaking Broncos. Come on.
It's the Broncos. Yeah, it's the Broncos until they win. I mean, we've been saying it the last 2 weeks. This is a very underrated Broncos defense.
Their defense is good, but their offense can't do shit.
Barely, but who knows? Could have another 10-9 game like we saw with the Jets.
Possibly.
Bears Commanders. I think that without Jaden Daniels, it's going to be the Bears, and it's really based off of one thing, and it's defense. Defense. Bears defense is really good. Washington defense is really bad, the Washington defense is bad, but for some reason it hasn't mattered, which is one of those weird things to say. I mean, that just goes to show how good Jaden Daniels in this offense is. I mean, the last however many games from the Bengals win, 1, 2, 3, 4 of their last 5 games, they put up over 30 points. 2 of them being over 40, including last week, 47 win against the Panthers.
Yeah, well, sometimes the best defense is more offense. And yeah. I think that's especially true in the NFL. Because if you get way ahead, then that limits what the other team can do in order to come back. You're not going to come back by running the ball for 5 yards a carry at best, maybe 6 yards. You're not going to do that. It's not enough for a first down. It runs the clock out. You have to use timeouts. And you don't even know if you're going to get the first down on every play either. Sometimes you get stuffed. So you're going to be slinging it down the field. And defenses know that that's going to happen. So they have that benefit of being able to know what is going to happen next. So with that being said, this Bears offense has been getting better and better and better. And a lot of that is because of their rookie quarterback who's gotten better. In his last three games, a 7-1 touchdown to interception ratio. He has been kicking ass lately. He has five interceptions, but four of them came within the first three games of the season. During a two-game stretch, I might add. So ever since then, he has been much better with the football. He's showing off his arm talent, which just looks more and more pro-ready as we go along. I think he's shown more improvement than Jaden Daniels has during this season. And I've made this prediction before. I'm going to make it now. Whoever wins this game takes the lead in the offensive rookie of the year race. If Jaden Daniels plays and wins, then I think he extends his lead over Caleb Williams. If Jaden Daniels doesn't play and Caleb throws for four touchdowns on this terrible Commanders defense, then he's going to take the lead and then some, because that also means Daniels misses two games. The best ability is availability. That means Caleb padded his stats a little more. Statistically and giving the eye test, everyone is going to notice Caleb Williams has been further along. It's not to say that Jaden Daniels isn't still an incredible player this year. In fact, he may end up being better than Caleb when this is all said and done. But as of right now, I do think Caleb is a little bit further along. And because of that, I just believe this Bears team, they're going to come out with a victory, even if Jaden Daniels plays.
Yeah. Honestly, in terms of the rookie of the year race, for the most part, I think you could just rope it up and make it a coin toss of who you think is going to be the offensive rookie of the year. We already crossed out Malik Nabers because of him missing a couple weeks. And unfortunately, you might have to cross out Jaden Daniels because he's about to miss this game. Maybe. We won't know until probably like noon on Sunday.
I mean, as far as the odds trackers go, it's kind of a dead heat. So it is getting very, very close. So I definitely think Caleb has a really good shot this week of gaining some ground, if not taking the lead. In fact, yeah. I believe if Caleb wins this week and looks good doing it, he's taking the lead.
Yeah. Moving on to Sunday Night Football, 49ers versus the Cowboys, a rivalry renewed for Sunday night on NBC. 49ers with a 4.5 point, four and a half point favorites. I can't speak. My heart says the Niners, but I'm going with the Cowboys. I feel like I have to go with the Cowboys this time. Any other time, both teams fully healthy, I'm going with the Niners, but I just don't know. Like, you had the possibility you don't have Juwan Jennings. I think he is playing, though. You're not going to have Debo, most likely, because he's got pneumonia. Cowboys are 3-0 on the road.
You have Kittle, too.
Niners still have Kittle. Or no, he should be playing this week. Are you saying he's out?
They have Kittle. They're going to have him.
You're going to have Jordan Mason back, but even like the last few weeks, Jordan Mason hasn't been performing all that great. Cowboys need a big bounce back victory. I know that they just haven't played good against playoff teams the last however many years, but they need this game badly. So I'm going to reluctantly pick the Cowboys.
Looking at this one, I'm going to have to roll with the Cowboys. I think they've been a little bit of a mess this year, but not bad enough. And so, therefore, I think the Cowboys come out. I think the Cowboys come out with the victory here. They have enough offense in order to do it. Rico Dowdle has also shown some good improvement as the season has gone on. Tolbert as well. This has overall been a pretty good team on the offensive side of the ball, personnel-wise. And while they haven't been that great, I don't think they're going to be that I think they're going to be able to come out with a victory against very much suspect 49ers team. They keep on getting hurt. And on top of that, even so, they just don't look right. It's not an analytical argument, but teams who lose the Super Bowl never look the same the year after. Whether they make the playoffs or not, they still don't look right. No matter if they have their ducks in a row or anything. And the 49ers haven't been the exception this year.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, this is really looking like the 2020 Niners that just kept getting hurt. You had Jimmy G that went down for the season at one point. Like, this is a very similar 49ers team to the one that we saw about 4 years ago after that Super Bowl loss. And that was because they couldn't get themselves out of the injury bug. And it's very similar to this year as well. Yeah. I hate the fact that I picked the Cowboys, but I hate it. Monday Night Football, Steelers, Giants. I'm going to feel a little bit better about this pick because I'm going with the Steelers. I don't think that they're going to put up 37 like they did last week against the Jets, but I think that they'll put on another really good showing against the Giants, but not – like, Giants have a pretty solid defense, but seems that there's some sort of vibe switch with Russ at the helm right now. They're playing good ball. Najee's playing well. Pickens is playing well. Question is, can we get the same production from Russ next week? And I think they will. On top of that, Steelers defense is still amazing. And they're going up against a very bad Giants offense. Yeah. Give me Steelers.
Steelers, and I genuinely don't think it's close. Russell Wilson played pretty well. We know he's highly capable of sustaining it, and he's facing a Giants team that is pedestrian at best. So give me the Steelers. And again, like I teased this before last week, before the end of last week's episodes. I don't remember which episode. It could have been Friday. It could have been Tuesday. But what I said was that if Russell Wilson wins two in a row after Justin Fields gets benched, Caleb Williams moves into the lead for Offensive Rookie of the Year, all of the Justin Fields fans are going to be really upset.
It's not even to like shit on him and the fact that like he did his job in getting the Steelers to a point where they can bring Russ in and they're not in a terrible spot at all. And their record shows that.
I don't even hate Justin Fields. I just hate his fans, his dumbass fans who think, well, he runs really well. Well, he has really good physical abilities.
Cool.
Like that's great. Can he pass the ball? Can he process the game well enough?
Yeah.
Can he see guys in the open in the field without running into the pile for a sack like that one play last year? Like he's for the second year in a row he leads the league in time holding the ball. That's not good. They keep on blaming it on the offensive line, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I think the Steelers would actually probably be tied with the Ravens right now in terms of standings. Like, they could, like, they're currently the first wild card spot, and it was because Justin Fields did play well enough to get them in a spot where they're in the playoff mix. But now you could see that it's the rush show now. It is, yeah. Mr. Unlimited Time.
You didn't need to bring that up again.
Oh, I just did. I just did. Mr. Unlimited. Unlimited.
Kind of like that Subway commercial that he did that was just so awkward. And it's like,
I'm blanking on that right now. I know what you're talking about, but like,
and then like Ghetto Gronk put it in a edit where it's a green screen in the background and it just has Joker music. And it's like, he's like, it's the part where he takes that one woman hostage, and it's like, you have to see it. It's like,
sounds like I have to.
You definitely need to see it. I'll show you when the episode's over, but.
Well, that's it for our weekend picks on this Friday edition of the Fumble Risky Podcast. Adam, you got any other breaking news or anything that anything else that you have on your mind that you want to bring up before we end the show?
No, I mean, the biggest takeaways have come from the NFC North, and we gave it a couple of angles. I mean, Sam Darnold and the Vikings, they start 5-0, lose two games, and now potentially they could be in last within a 2-week span. That's unheard of. I mean, we never hear of that. It just goes to show how unbelievable this division is. And they're supposed to get this new kid, McCarthy. If he ends up being able to play, then this is a really good division for years to come. Also, I found the Russell Wilson commercial. I'll play it for you right now.
Oh, I have another video to play for you as well. It's the Colts anthem for week 8 this week.
You want to put this Subway sandwich? It is my signature sandwich. It's called the Danger Witch, and it's dangerously good. Be careful, though. It's spicy.
That's so weird.
You ever done anything dangerous?
maybe that's Russ's gift for everyone, is that he's just so awkward.
There's another one right here where it's like, I'll just. This one's even better.
Subway sandwich. It is my signature sandwich. It's called the Danger Witch.
That's awesome.
He just says he's kidnapping somebody. Is.
Anything dangerous?
Jeez.
And then just that awkward bite.
What?
I just wonder how that didn't go as viral, but the one where he's talking about being Mr. Unlimited did. Like, I get the other one is Mr. Unlimited is pretty bad too, but that was just, how did they watch that and say, yeah, this is gonna work for him?
This is it right here.
How did Russ do that?
I don't know.
Two wins in a row. Steelers fans. They're fine. They're fine with it.
Colts anthem for week 8 also just got posted by Seth DeFlow. If we want to listen to it,
let's see it.
I don't know what the hell he just did there.
That'll do it for us tonight.
The neighing is what gets me. That's the real kicker, and
didn't they also get a cheerleader on it once?
Yeah, no, he got two cheerleaders on for like I think it was week 2 or week 3 or something like that. I forgot.
Wasn't familiar with your game.
He's him, I guess. He's him. I want to be like you, my boy. We're going to end the show. Thank you for tuning in to this Friday, this week 8 Friday edition of the Fumble Rooski podcast. The Rams back from the dead, and Adam and I split on Bills versus Seahawks and a lot of other great picks that we kind of somewhat agreed on. New episode coming out on Tuesday at 7:30. Be sure to check us out, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Spreaker, you name it, we're on it. Also follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast, and our TikTok, FumbleRooskiPod, for all the latest content, news, and all of our podcast clips in general. Be sure to follow that. But for Adam Wright, myself, CJ, and Tuck, who's not here, we thank you for joining us again, and we'll see you on Tuesday night. Over and out.